Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson, and this is another commentary and analysis of Is It Just Me or Is the Whole World Going Crazy? These commentaries, I talk about the inspiration, ideas, and research that goes into creating an article. It's basically like a behind-the-scenes look. So if you love the articles, check out the commentaries, and you'll get to learn more about them. So, the crazy world one. This piece was actually, it was kind of a big deal personally for me because it's the first time I've actually kind of come out and took a stand on a political subject. If you couldn't figure it out from the text, I think Donald Trump is a total scumbag. I think he's a legitimate threat to the system. I think his ideas are undemocratic, illiberal, against all the Enlightenment values that I care about. I'm not really a huge fan of Hillary, but I'm so anti-Trump that I'm kind of just willing to, I think it's important to come out and say clearly a few things that need to be said about it. But ultimately, like I point out in the article, that this article, it's not just like, Trump is not the problem. This is the scary thing. It's Trump himself is just like, he's just, whatever, he's a douchebag. But like, what's scary is that there's a large percentage of the U.S. population, and there's similar populations in other countries that are growing, that are open to this kind of stuff, that get excited by these ideas, by this sort of like soft bigotry and anti-democratic and authoritarian ideas. It's the kind of stuff that we haven't really seen in the West, since before World War II. And that's really kind of startling and upsetting. Interestingly, this article, I tried to avoid writing this article. I think I have some insecurities around putting my political beliefs out there front and center, you know, and sure enough, I got a number of comments to this article from people on the far right and Trump supporters who are readers of the site who basically blew me off or told me I was an idiot or told me that I was an intellectual lightweight and I was, you know, didn't understand what I was talking about, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that kind of stuff happens on almost every article, but obviously this one stoked a little bit more of that than usual because it's a touchy subject and it's extremely current. But it was funny. I actually tried to write other articles before I wrote this one, and I just felt they felt very uninspired, and the whole Republican convention was going on at the time, and I was reading about it, and I was horrified by it, and was getting very upset and reading a lot of articles about what was going on in the U.S. presidential race. And finally, after like two or three failed attempts at writing an article, I started to write an article. And the first thing I wrote in this article was the last section, the section on freedom not being free, which I think was just an attempt to make the points I wanted to make without dipping my toe into the election. You know, still keeping my personal views kind of masked. And I liked the section, but I after I finished writing it, I was like, well, this is good, but it's not an article. Like, there needs to be more. And that's when I finally said, you know what, fuck it. Like, I just need to come out and say this. It's important enough. Like, I believe strongly enough in it to come out and say it. I usually try to keep the site apolitical. One of the things that I'm very proud of over the years is that I consistently get emails from people on the right and on the left thinking that I'm one of them. And I've always secretly enjoyed that a lot. It feels good because it feels like I'm tapping into something that's broader and more universal. Funny enough, some of the ideas in the middle of the article, so this article got shared a lot. It was very successful. I think just from my page, it got something like 3,000 shares. It's definitely the most I've seen just in my personal network, you know, so my Facebook friends and people I know and friends of friends and stuff like that, it's definitely the article that got shared the most, probably since the Brazil article in February. And so it performed very, very well. And there was a section from the middle of the article that's being quoted over and over again. And it's funny because the ideas from the middle of the article, I guess the part of the article that struck people the strongest, the ideas aren't even new. Like, they're not even, and I don't even mean new in period, because pretty much nothing I write is new. But they're actually the exact same ideas that I wrote in Living in the Age of Outrage, and then I wrote a couple of years ago in the article about the attention economy. And this happens sometimes. Sometimes it's, I write the same idea three or four different times in three or four different articles, and the first three articles, you know, the first time it gets kind of ignored, second time it gets kind of ignored, and then also in the third time, it's like people are like, holy shit, this is amazing, and they start sharing it like crazy. And I think that's just, it's probably, it's just this time that I wrote it, it's much better written, it's much more clearly expressed. And then I think probably the emotional salience of the election, starting the piece out with Trump, just kind of got people to pay a little bit more attention, and it put a context for people to think of it in. Because when I wrote about this stuff in the Age of Outrage, it was a very nebulous thing. You know, I talked a little bit about shootings and terrorism and, you know, celebrities and lawsuits and stuff, and people are kind of like, okay, okay. But when you put it in the context of, all right, you've got Trump and people are fucking terrified of Trump, and there's all this, like, feels like all this awful stuff is happening in the world. It became more tangible and real for people. I am thinking about, I mean, one thing, I've mentioned this on previous commentaries, one issue that I'm kind of always cognizant of is one of the problems with the stuff I write about. You know, all the happiness and psychology and motivation and things like that. It's not what's referred to in the publishing business as evergreen. So for instance, articles like Love Is Not Enough or Fuck Yes or No, like some of the really great personal development articles that I wrote a few years ago, they're still just as relevant today as they were 3 years ago. And on the one hand, that's amazing, because if I write a badass article on happiness in 2013, I can still promote it and people will read it and people will love it in 2016. The problem about that, though, is that you can only write about the same thing so many times. Like, you can only write so many articles about happiness before you just start repeating yourself, or you can only write so many articles about love and relationships before you start repeating yourself. And this is a problem that I'm starting to bump up against too this year, especially after just finishing my book that's coming out in September. I'm reaching this point with the personal development stuff where it's like, okay, anything I say or anything I want to write about, I kind of already wrote about it better either in the book or in an article from a year or two ago. So I'm struggling to find like very fresh and exciting ideas to talk about. And one thing that appeals to me about writing more about kind of culture and politics, like what's going on in the world today, is the fact that it's evergreen. You know, it's like I can comment on it. It will always be relevant at the moment that it's published. The drawback is that, you know, an article on Trump today, you know, if Trump loses horribly in November, you know, then like 3 or 4 years from now, that this article might not be nearly as relevant or as salient as it is when it was published. But at least the topic, you know, following politics a little bit more, writing a little bit more about what's going on in the culture and media and things like that, it's starting to appeal to me a lot more for that reason, that it's something that I can, like, it's sustainable. I can write about it for years and years and it never gets old or repetitive. There are other drawbacks of that. It kind of changes the dynamic of me and the readership. And it just, I don't know. I don't want to be like a full-blown political writer, but let's just say that this was the first conscious attempt of, you know, trying it out, dipping my toe in the water, or if you want to be really perverted, sticking in just the tip and seeing how it feels. So we'll see how it goes.